Tzadites Amid Beis. Amar Rava, two lines up before the end of the daf. Pshitali, the following case is simple. I don't have any doubts. Mayim al gabi mayim hainu hanachosav. In other words, in order to be chay from leches otzah, you have to do an akira from a makom hanacha. So we always have to guarantee, in order for him to be liable for meleches otzah, that the object is nach, and therefore he does an akira of an object that's nach. If you have water on water, which means you have water, right? So you take out the top layer of the water, right? You don't dig all the way to the floor, so you take off the top layer. So that's called taking an akira from a makom hanacha. In other words, even though water moves by its very nature, but nevertheless, it's still called anocha. But egos al gabi mayim, what happens when he puts an object on top of water, right, we'll turn now to daf kuf, lav haidu hanachosam. Because when you put a nut or any sort of object on water, it floats on the water, there's a stream of water, and it moves from place to place. So the egos and the mayim are two separate entities. And the egos is not considered nach on the mayim, because the mayim is carrying the egos from place to place. In the case of mayim, if he takes out the top layer of mayim, we view all the mayim as one entity, and all the mayim is nach, and although that's pshita to Rava, you and I would have said, wait a minute, even that's a bit of a chiddush, because maybe all the water is considered as one entity, which is not nach. Everything in the water is moving, but Rava understands that mayim is makom hanachasam. You know, would it make any difference, according to Rava, whether you had a fast-moving stream, you know, what do they call it, rapids, you know, white water they used to call it, or you had stagnant water? It doesn't seem to make any difference. Rava, by definition, holds that mayim is considered a makom hanocha, even though, in the case of egos, the water is considered moving, and therefore the egos is not stationary, it's not in a makom hanocha. Nevertheless, mayim al gabi mayim is definitely considered makom hanocha. So I have a comment here that I want to share with you. In the note, he says the following. Ein lomar, he's quoting a Rashi later on, we didn't get to it yet. Shamayim misnanim vizazim, that water, by definition, by its nature, is moving. The einam nechshavim kimunachim, and therefore you can't say that the water is nach. Vanotel osam lo asa akiri mokam anocha. So all that is with a minus sign. Ella, but rather, kol amayim nechshavim kimuchubarim zelazeh. Ha'elyonim chashuvim kimunachim. B'makom shebo munachim amayim atachtonim. And that's more or less what we came up on our own, but it still begs the question, even if you're attaching the mayim elyonim to the mayim atachtonim and saying it's one entity, and it's all nach, so therefore the mayim elyonim is also considered nach, but we still have the question, well, why isn't all the water that's moving considered moving rather than stationary, and it's not nach. So that question he doesn't address. Then he writes, Mevur midivrei Rashi, shekol dvarav shel Rava diber le'inyan akira. Rava's focus is on akira. That's the way Rashi seems to indicate. And when you think about that, that's a pella. Forget about akira. What about anocha? What happens if I take water and I put it down onto water? He quotes a sefer, I'm not familiar with it, Shalmei Toda. Sha'af al gav de Rashi kosav sharova dibra linyan akira hu adin linyan anocha. Mashapirish Rashi Lina Akira, Mishum Shagamara, Mevia Din Zelinian Akira. But Enochinami, Rav is talking even as far as Hanukkah is concerned. Now it's a little bit odd, if you ask me. I'm not here to argue with the Shalmei Toda. I mean, Halavai, I should be Zocher to bring Shalmei Toda. But there's a whole difference here between Akira and Anocha. To me, it's a great chiddush when you talk about Anocha, because the Mayim that you're putting down is separate, is an independent entity from the Mayim that's there and flowing. You know, as long as it's one flowing stream, I can understand that the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim form one entity and the whole Geshichta is all Nach. But when I'm talking about a case where I've got water in a jug and I pour it into a stream of water, is that called Anocha? Immediately when the water hits the other water, it moves. So the Shalmei Toda understands, what do you mean it moves? It moves together with the Mayim Tachtonim, but it's all one entity. So to the same extent that the Mayim Tachtonim are considered Nach, and all the water is considered Nach, immediately when you put down the water on top of the Mayim, it becomes part of one entity. But that brings us back to yesterday's sugya about Bahari Adodi. And we spoke about cases where the Hanukkah itself creates a Rishus HaYachid, and we weren't sure if he's chayav for a zrika when the Hanukkah itself generates all the conditions that are necessary for that zrika to be to qualify as Otsah. Meaning, do we say Bahari Adodi or do we not say Bahari Adodi? And that was the suffix in the Gemara. The Gemara never really came to that conclusion, to any conclusion. Therefore, it's an open-ended question about Bahari Adodi. So I'm just a little bit concerned here that the Shalmei Toda takes this as a non-starter. You know, it's upgrade. You don't even have to talk about this. Rava was mentioning Akira, but for the same price, he could have spoken about Anocha. There is makom to differentiate, because in the case of Hanukkah, although it's true that now the mayim that I'm adding to this body of water becomes one, and for henceforth will be integrated, so that if somebody would take out that water, he'd certainly be chay for an akira from a makom Hanukkah. But nevertheless, at the moment of the Hanukkah, you know, at that split second, I don't have a Hanukkah in the sense of putting down this water in a place that's stagnant, that's stationary, because at this moment in time, the water that I'm dumping into the stream is separate in a different entity. All right. Boy, Rava, here's the suffix of Rava. Egos Bikli. Okay, so now he has three entities, right? He's got the Mayim, he's got a Kli that's floating on the water, and he's got an egos in the Kli. I mean, this sounds like Einsteinian physics. You know, the theory of relativity. Because relative to the Kli, the egos is getting placed in a stationary place. But the problem is that Kli itself, if you isolate it, is on the move. It's floating on the water. Me, Amrian, should we say Basar Egos as Lidavar Nayich? If you focus on the relationship between the Egos and the Kli, then he's achieved a full-fledged Hanukkah. Correct? And that would mean that if a person took an Egos and he put it into a Kli, right, he took it from one Rishus into another Rishus and put it down into a Kli, that would be considered Hanukkah, even though the Kli is on the water. And therefore, the flip side would be, if I pick up the egos from a Kli, and I take the egos out, even though the Kli itself is floating on top of the water, I would be chayev, because I did an Akira from a Makom Hanukkah. So all this is the first premise of Rava and his Sefik, that the focus is on the egos, which means the egos in its relationship to the Kli. It's not in the Kli, and therefore he's doing an Akira from the Kli. Oh, Dilma, or should we say no? Basar Kli Azlina. Let's focus our attention on the Kli. Ask ourselves, is the Kli really Nach? Well, if you're talking about the Kli, then the Kli is like the egos that was al gabi amayim in Rava's previous presentation, which was not considered hanocha. And therefore, v'olo nayach, teku. So he explains the teku here. He says, kevan shakli eino munach, according to the second side of Rava, if the egos depends upon the kli, and our focus and our question is whether the kli is nach, well, if we come to the conclusion that the kli is not nach, then memela, the egos is not nach. Because every anocha has to be the makom anocha. And he clearly put down the egos, no question about it, into the kli, and the kli is not a makom anocha, because the kli is not nach. That was the second side in Rava. And therefore he says, shava din zeh. In other words, if you hold basar kli azlinon, then the din is the same as the din of an egos hatzaf al gabi mayin. Correct? Because the kli is just a substitute for the egos. Right? In the first case, the egos was on the water, and that's not considered nach. In the second case, the kli is on the water, and therefore the kli is not considered nach. All that is fine. However, he has a Ravan. Now, the Ravan is most famous for his commentary on Marcus, because, you know, we don't have Rashi after a certain point in Marcus. But the Ravan actually wrote Tshuvas, and he quotes the Ravan. Oh, before we get to the Ravan, just one more point. The Rambam has a slight variation in terms of the scenario, but again, it's absolutely identical to our sugya. The Rambam has a case where he has a kli tsaf al gabi mayim. So the Rambam describes the kli as floating across the water. Uperos b'toch ha-kli. Okay. Now, Poshat Yodo, says the Rambam, Perek Yud Gimel, the lokach min ha-peros, the hotzi. What do you think is going to be the next word in the Rambam? I'm quizzing you. Is he going to say potur, or is he going to say chayav? No, the Gemara blinds with the teku. So the Rambam says potter. So the Bhagavad Mishnah says, you know why the Rambam says potter? Because we can't bring a chatos, which is a sofik chul azora, because Rav has decided to say that it's lina basa kli. And now the peros, again, instead of the egos, are in the kli, and the kli is tzaf al gabi mayim. So since the kli is tzaf al gabi mayim, we enter into the teku of Rava, and therefore you're potter. Okay, fine, I just mentioned that in passing. It's just a curiosity. What do we do in this case of teku? So that's a universal rule that teku is always going to be potter. Now we get to the Ravan. HaRavan Pirish, his interpretation of Rava, Shahotzi es ha-kli im ha-ego shebo. They would talk about a scenario in which he carried out not the egos, but the kli with the egos. Which means that Rav had no doubt in his mind that Aslina Bas are egos. That wasn't his suffix. And if Aslina Bas are egos, then if he carried out the egos, for sure he'd be chayav. Not like the Rama who says he's part, because the Rama understood, the way Rashi understood it, that he carried out the egos from the kli, and that was the suffix of Rava. No, if he carried out the egos from the kli, says the Ravan, Pashut that he's chayav. Because his malach was done on the egos. And the egos is not in the kli. The problem is that he took out the egos inside the kli, and the kli itself is not nach. So now, Rava doesn't know how to define, from what perspective we define his malacha. Is malacha being done on the egos? Is it being done on the kli? Is it being done on both? And if you would say A, we have A, B, and C. If you would say A, then he's chayev, because he did a hotza on the egos. And that was no question as lina basar egos. If you're going to say B, well, he's certainly potter, because the kli is not nach. The question is, what if you have both A and B? What does one negate the other? Meaning, shall we say that the hotza on the kli negates the hotza and the egos, which is inside the kli, and therefore he's potter? Or should we say no? The ego stands on its own, right? This is the new movement in favor of egos. And if you disagree with me, we're gonna ransack your business, right? This is the movement. The movement is all in favor of egos, right? So the Ravan says the following: Hotzias akliyim egos, hasofik hu im holchim achara egos v'hu nach. And that was upgaret. No, Rava never doubted that. Oh, shall egos? Listen carefully to lashon of the Ravan. Batel akli v'holchim achara kli v'hu nad. Nad means the opposite of nach, and therefore he's put. What does he mean? There's no explanation here. You know, that's the nature of the baby here, you know, of the Masifta. He only quotes Rishonim Achronim. He doesn't bother explaining them in most cases. Unless you go look in the back, that's called the Yalkut HaBiur. I would tell you the following, and if you want to disagree with me, please do. We're not talking about the value on the market. I'm not sure. This could be the most expensive egos in the business. And the cheapest kli on the face of the earth. You know, it's like a, what shall I say? It's like a kli cheres that's half broken. You know, it's only makabel tumah because you can use it to carry out a rimon. You know, I don't think he's talking about bittel in terms of monetary value. But I think what he's talking about is the Maisa Hotsa. Look, my friend, you want the egos? Take the egos. No. I don't want the egos. I want the egos in a kli. And that's enough to set up a din of bittul. When you have two objects and you're unwilling to carry out one object, unless it's inside another object, then your hotza is on the object, we'll call it the receptacle, that's carrying the object. The bittul here has nothing to do with its monetary value. The bittul here has to do with what we call the maisa hotza. Do we define the maisa hotza as hotza as ha-egos, and then he's chayav? Because primarily his focus and his interest is the egos? Or we say no. In terms of the otsa, he cannot carry out the egos. Why not? I don't know. But he's decided he's not giving out a gozim today. He needs an egos in a kli. And if he needs an egos in the kli, then fundamentally he needs the kli. And his otsa is therefore defined as otsa sakli. Hence, the kli is not nach. It's Nayid, and he's put. On that we have a take. So if the Ravan was writing the Ravid on the Rambam, Hasagas on the Rambam, he would say, you know what? In your case, Rabbeinu Moshe, he would be Chayav. Because Rava never doubted that if he takes out the egos, he's Chayav. There is Hotza on the egos. The egos is Nach in the Kli. The problem is he wasn't satisfied with taking out the egos. He needs the egos in a Kli. That's where Rava vacillates. If he needs the Kli, to what extent does he need the Kli? How do we define the Meleches Hotza in this case in the light of the fact that he needs the Kli, he wants the egos in the Kli? Do we still say, well, his Iker purpose is on the egos? The Kli is now bottled to the egos. The Kli is just a base yad. It's like a handle to take out and carry the egos. Or no. Do we say that in this entity called Egos B'toch HaKli, the entity is the Kli? Even though his purpose is to get the Egos, but he needs an Egos and a Kli. And if he needs an Egos and a Kli, his Hotzah is on the Kli, and the Egos is now but. Shemen Al Gabi Yayin. Okay, what happens if you have oil floating on top of wine? Clearly, they are two separate entities. Now he's Oker the Shemen, and he takes it out to Rishus HaRabin. You and I would have said, intuitively, that in this case, for sure he's Potter, because Shemen is a different entity than Yayin. They don't mix. And if they don't mix, then the Shemen is floating on top of the Yayin. So the Gemara says, just one second. Okay. I'll keep my finger on something that maybe we'll be able to study a little bit later on. I don't think we're ready for it. But anyway, Banu l'machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanu. Okay, so now we're studying a little bit of Tvul Yom. The Mishnah records the following machlok. Shemen shetzaf al gabi yayin. And now there's halacha that Tvul Yom through Maga, even though he went to mikveh, but since he hasn't had Erev Shemesh, his purification process is incomplete, and he is enjoined from going into the Migdash, or from coming in contact with Kodshim, which he passes Benegia, or Truma. So if he comes in contact with Truma, therefore the Truma becomes Truma Psula. So now he's got Truma. The Truma is made up of two different substances. It's Shemen Shel Truma, and it's Yayin Shel Truma. And that's called Tirosh V'Yitzar, which are explicit in the Pasuk. Nobody debates that wine and oil are included in Truma. Other Parasilon is Machlok Saramam and other Rishonim. But this is clearly Doraisa. And now, he has an Egiya, in the first case, with Shemen. What's the status of the Yayin? There's no question that Tful Yom passels the Shemen b'negiyoso. But what about the Yayin? Now this depends upon a concept called Chibur. Do we view the Yayin underneath the Shemen and the Shemen on top of the Yayin as Chibur? And if there's Chibur, then the emphasis or the input or impetus of Chibur means that a negia of one object is ipso facto a negia on the other object if there's chibur between the two. And there are many, many different cases in which the halacha tries to define the application when we apply chibur and when we don't. So how do we view Shemen and Yayin? Is that chibur, is it not? If it is chibur, then we have two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is in terms of Tuma Vitara, and the other nafkamina is in terms of Meleches Hotzah. So now we get the sheet of the Chacham. The Chacham don't have Chibur. Yayin and Shemen just don't mix. And therefore, Lo Pasal Es HaShemen. I'm sorry, Lo Pasal El Es HaShemen. So the Yayin remains Truma Tahora, and we'll give it to the Kohen, and Selzayin Gesund, let him drink the Truma. The Shemen is Pasul, and that becomes what's called Shemen Sreifa, and we have a mitzvah of burning the Shemen. So the Tanakama rejects Chibur in this case, and as we said before, that is because Yayin and Shemen just don't mix. Now it's interesting. This Mishnah focuses on Tful Yom. Why? Because A tful yom hasels truma b'torah sheni shenase shlishi. And apparently the halacha would be much more strict and severe, even according to the Chachamim, and even as far as the Yayin is concerned, if we weren't talking about a Tful Yom, but a Tameh. Because a Tameh is a Rishon Letumah, and therefore, even if the Tameh only came in contact with the Shemen, he makes the Shemen into a Sheni Letumah. And since there's Maga between the Shemen and the Yayin below it, that passels the Truma, the Yayin shall Truma v'Torah Shlishi. So that, as far as Truma is concerned, a Sheni could create a Shlishi, which disqualifies the Truma. That's a very unique halacha in Truma and Kodshim, that you could extend Tuma Vitara even as far as Shlishi is concerned. It doesn't apply to Chulin. So a Sheni could never be Matami a Shlishi. Even a Sheni I'm not sure about. But that has to do with Sugyas. But anyway, so therefore let's just emphasize that the Mishnah is talking about a Tful Yom. His status is that of a Sheni Lituma. The Chachomim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold that the Shemen as a separate entity becomes a Shlishi Lituma. However, a Shlishi cannot contaminate Truma and make it into a Revi Lituma. That's the din of Truma. And Kodshim is a little bit different, but now we have a case of a Tame, not a Tful Yom. So let's say Reuven touched the Sheretz. So his status is that of a Rishon Letuma, and therefore even the Yayin becomes possible, even according to the Chachamim that there's no Chibur, because once the Shemen contracts Tuma, and now the Shemen becomes a Sheni Letuma, a Sheni Letuma passels Truma as a Shlishi Letuma, so therefore the Maga with the Yayin would passel. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shneem, both of them are possible. Even the Yayin below the Shemen becomes Truma Psula, Truma Tmea. And why is that? Shneem Chibur Zelazeh. We view them as one entity. It's as if the Tful Yom had come in contact with the Yayin, not just the Shemen, and the Yayin therefore becomes possible. And that means that the Yayin and the Shemen both contract the status of a Shlishi Lutuma, and therefore it's possible in Truma. Now the Gemara wants to make an equation between this Machlokes, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the Isur Hotzah. Let's see if we can work this out. The man did an Akira on Shemen. The Shemen is floating on the surface of Yayin. According to Chachamim, who in Tful Yom insists that the Yayin below the Shemen is not possible, because Yayin and Shemen are two separate entities, therefore he did a Hotzah on, let's call it Akira, on Shemen. That's it. On Shemen alone. And therefore, if we're going to say that the Shemen itself is not Nach, why? Because it's on top of Yayin, and that's not considered a Makom HaNocha. Let's assume Yayin, no less than any other liquid, is on the move, so the Shemen is on the move when it's sitting on the Yayin. Therefore, there's no way you could be Mechayev for the Akira of the Shemen. However, here's the fascinating chiddush. If we go like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who accepts chibur, the Gemara now postulates that there is an analogy, or shall we say, an equation between chibur l'tumah and chibur l'otzah. And therefore, we view the Shemen and the Ayin as one entity. And therefore, that's called a Makom Hanocha. And when he's Oker the Shemen, he's being Okered from a Makom Hanocha. This is mamish like Rava's original case of Mayim al Gabi Mayim. And we said, wait a minute, let's look at the entire entity of the Mayim. No, no, no. We're going to look at the relationship between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. Here also, we're going to look at the relationship between the Shemen Elyon and the Ayin Tachton. And just like Rava says, that in Mayim al Gabi Mayim, it's one entity, and therefore it's considered Nach, you were Oker the Ayin, the Shemen from the same place that you were Oker the Ayin, it's all one entity, therefore Yechayev, just like in the case where you were Oker the Mayim. But here, I want to introduce the Me'iri into the sugya. The Me'iri wants to draw a logical conclusion from this sugya, and I'd like to study that logic with you. The Gemara is talking about Shemen al Gabi Yayin, and the implication is that he was Oker the Shemen, leaving the Yayin behind. Fine. So now we have a clear whether or not the Shemen is Nach al Gabi Yayin or not. And that depends on Chibur or not. Says the Me'iri, what would be in a case of Shemen al Gabi Shemen, or Yayin al Gabi Yayin? Clearly in that case, even according to the Chachamim, he would be Chayef. I'll read to you the language of the Mishnah, of the Me'iri. The Me'iri says that Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Chachamim dafka b'shemen shetzaf al gabi yayin. Aval shemen shetzaf al gabi shemen v'chein yayin hatzaf al gabi yayin zuhi hanachosa. Then there's clearly a chibur. And therefore, even the Chachamim will be Mechayev. He says, Netilas HaMashkim is HaReihi K'netila Me'al Gabi Kark. Interesting. He's talking about Mayim Al Gabi Mayim, Yayin Al Gabi Yayin, etc. The whole 9 yards. It's always considered Nach Al Gabi Kark. Again, how much of the Shemen was the ochre from the karka? Only the top layer. How much of the Mayim was the ochre? Only the top layer. It doesn't matter. Once we have Chibur, and Mayim al Gabi Mayim is Chibur, Yayin al Gabi Yayin is Chibur, Shemen al Gabi Shemen is Chibur, then it's all one entity that's Munach al Gabi Karka, and he's giving ochre from the karka. Now again, it doesn't have to be karka. Again, if you'll give me the poetic license here, I don't think the Me'iri, you know, is talking about Mechubur Lekarka here. I think he's talking about whatever receptacle is holding on to this Gansa Yayim, this Gansa Shemen, the Gansa Mayim, and it could be a Kli, it doesn't have to be Karka. And now the Me'iri takes it one step further. And he says, Yayin al Mayim. Now, if I would stop here, again, I always like to quiz you a little bit. What would be your knee-jerk response? What about Yayin al Gabi Mayim or Shemen al Gabi Mayim? What would you say in that case? Is there Chibur or no Chibur? Go like this if you agree with me that there's no Chibur between Shemen and Mayim. Right? No Chibur. Okay, at least John agrees with me. Got one out of five here. That's more than 20%. I mean, but John is Shakul Kenege Kula. So that's not a chibur. Now we just finished saying that according to Chachamim or Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in the case of Yayin al Gabi Shemen or Shemen al Gabi Yayin, there's no chibur, and therefore you're potter. So I thought that the Me'iri was about to tell me that if you have Yayin al Gabi Mayim, if you have Shemen al Gabi Mayim, there's no chibur, and therefore you're potter. Ha! That's what Berzon was thinking, but that's not what the Me'iri was thinking. Says the Me'iri, Yayin al Gabi Mayim is Chayev. Why? Hoil umis arvim legamre. Now again, he didn't mention my case yet of shemen al gavi mayim. Right now we're talking about yayin al gavi mayim. Mis arvim legamre. In fact, if you remember the sugya of koshel bracha, that's what they did. They diluted the wine with water at a ratio of 1-4. Is therefore done of osom kimayim al gabi mayim or yayin al gabi yayin. Vizuhi hanachasa. Vechein posach biorach ha-shulchan. Shedavka shemen einu misarev. Im shara mashkim velo mayim. Vieno chibru zelizev apotu. Avol shar mashke shemis arev b'mayim. He doesn't single out yayin, but he says any mashke other than shemen does get mixed up with water. Hareyu kidover echad im amayim v'chayim. Zuhi hanachosa. Fascinating. The Aruch HaShulchan, I'm a big fan, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, I honestly doubt if he saw the Me'iri, I can't promise you, but he points out that Shemen, in terms of its relation to Mayim, is in a category of its own. There's no Chibur. Shemen and Yayin, there's no Chibur. In all these cases, you'd be pot. Against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, like the Chacham. But all other mashkim are misarvim and mamayim, and therefore there's Chibur and il vichayev. Okay. Now I want to share with you a sefer called Chazon Nachum. Now, let me just, it's a one-liner, but let me just learn with you that one line, and then I think I know who the Chazon Nachum is. And he writes the following. That when the Gemara here quotes the Machlokes in Tful Yom, between the Chachomer of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we assumed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that certainly according to Chachamim, there's no chibur between Yayin and Mayim, between Shemen and Mayim. Starting again, between Shemen and Yayin, and therefore the Yayin is kosher. It's not possible. That therefore in Otsah, the Chachamim would certainly say that Shemen is nachal gabi Yayin, and there's no hanoch, it's nayid, and therefore you be potter. Comes along the Chazon Nachum, and he says that what the Gemara has in mind, Kavanas HaGemari, Shalachachomim Yesh Listapek Echadin B'Shemen Al Gabi Yayin V'ilu L'Rab Yochanan Ben Nuri Vadai Hu Shechayav. A curveball. So let me take a stab at this. And again, I don't have access to the Chazon Nachum. I'm not even sure who he is. I'd like to say, but I'm probably dead wrong about this, that the Chazon Nachum was the Rosh Yeshiva in Mir, who died, I mean, I saw him many times, maybe died 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, I'm not sure exactly how long ago. He was what you call an Alta Mira. You know, he learned in Shanghai. But whoever he is, I would like to take a stab at this. Perhaps the Chachamim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri were actually in doubt. They didn't know whether Yayin and Shemen is a chibur or not a chibur. Again, what the rayas for that is, I don't know. But let's assume there are rayas for that. So what's the status of truma, in this case, yayin shel truma, in a case of a suffek? And the answer is, the yayin remains tahar. And that's called cheskas tahara. You want to passel the truma? Is alecha lahavi raya that the truma became possible. Until I know for sure that the truma was possible, then the truma is vadaitar. Not safektar, but vadaitar. The ukme truma acheskes tara. What shall I say? It's like a case of a tomei who goes into a mikvah, and we checked out the mikvah yesterday, and the mikvah had 40 saw. Tomorrow, after the tomei was tovel, we checked out the mikvah and only had 39 saw. He's tar. Not tar v'tar sofek. He's tar v'tar svadai. Why? Because the cheskes mikvah. The other way of saying it is that the gavra has a cheskes tuma. Okay, I'm not... Again, that's the first sugya mesechta nida. I'm not going into all the details. But whenever there's a cheskes tara, then any sofek is always going to be machriya l'tara and b'tar svadai. But as far as shara dini haTorah, it's a pure suffix. So that whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we have a vadei chibur, and therefore in Hilchas Hotzah, he's going to be chayav a chatas. He will bring a chatas if he carried out the shemen that was floating on top of the ayin. That's because it's a vadei chibur, vadei tum and vadei hotzah. But according to Chachamim, here we have tzvei din. We have one din in Tvul Yom, in the kashas of the pasas of the truma shel yayin, and a different din as far as hotzah. As far as hotzah is concerned, b'dach blaibim mitas sofik. That's all we have is a sofik. We don't know whether there is chibur or not. Is that what the Chazon Nachum had in mind? I'll never know until I get the sefer. Fine. Omar Abaye. Bar Birshus HaRabim Amuka Asara Rechava Shmona. Now at this point we can tell you that this bar is definitely a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because it's 10 Tfachim deep and it's 8 Tfachim wide. All we need in width is 4 Tfachim. Now what he tells you here is that the width of the bar is 8 tfachim. He doesn't tell you that it's squared off 8 tfachim, but let's assume it's at least 4 tfachim in one of the two dimensions, so it's got 8 tfachim on 4 tfachim. It's definitely Rishus HaYachid. So if he would throw something from Rishus HaRabim that's very small into the bar, he'd be chayev, no question about it, hands down. If he took out water from the bar and took it out to Rishus HaRabim, no question about it, he's chayav. But what happens when he throws into the bar something of significant size? Zorak l'tocha machtzeles. He had a machtzeles, a mat, that was in Rishus HaRabim, and he throws it into the bar, and the bar is Rishus HaYachid, Chayav. Okay. So far, no chidushin. And that's exactly what we would have said. Oh. Aval aber chilka b'machtzeles patur. What happens if instead of throwing the machtzeles flat, he threw it on its side, and it's now vertical. And at this point, it could be considered like a machitza, and it splits the bar into two. And what happens now is that the bar loses its shame, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, right? Why? Because before he threw the mat in, the bar was 8 tfachim, and now that he threw the mat in, so nechsar, right, there's a chisar in here, in the bar, and it is 4 tfachim, but keep in mind that the machzelis itself has a certain thickness to it, which is going to detract from the from the width of the bar to the right or the width of the bar to the left when the machatzelus is right down the middle. So you're left with now is that the dimensions of this bar are no longer that which is required for Rishus HaYachid because now we have less than 4 tefachim in the width. So there's no part of this bar that has 4x4 tefachim. So Abai says, pot. In this case, since when the machzeles lands vertically inside the bar, and it's mevatel the shemir shesayochid, he cannot be chayav for this hanocha. And now, Abaye is rejecting the principle of Bahari Adodi. Because if you remember Rabbi Yochanan Shita Bahari Adodi, then we look at the Maisa Hanocha. And the Maisa Hanocha was Hanocha in Rishu Sayochid. As we discussed yesterday. So for example, let's say he has a bar that's 10 tefachim deep, and he throws a clump of earth. When the clump of earth lands at the bottom of the bar, it now is memait the bar from 10 tefachim to 9 tefachim. It's no longer Rishu Sayochid. And yet Rabbi Yochanan, again he vacillates, but according to one side, he says you're Chayav. Why? Because we're going to apply the principle of Adi Adadi, and we're going to look at that very split second in which he did the Hanacha. And again, you can't split it in time sequentially, but conceptually, what is a Maisa Hanacha and then causes a repercussion, we look and focus on the Maisa Hanacha. Says the Gemara L'Abaye de Pshita Le Machzeles Mevatel Mechitza, that if the Machzeles now, once it's Nach, it undermines the status of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore he's Potter, his Kolshke, now which more so, Chulya, when he throws a Gush of Adoma into a bar that's 10 Tvachim, and now he's Mamaitan, 10 Tvachim to 9 Tvachim, the Mevatla Mechitza, certainly that would be a bittel of Mechitza. We have to figure out why this is a Kolshken. I would have said it's an analogy, an equation. The Gemara says that it's a Kolshken. Is that all according to whom? According to Abaye. But the Rabbi Yochanan, to be Boile Chulia. He has a suffix in the case of Chulia, whether you apply the principle of Hadi Adori or not. Is Machzeles. What about the deal of Machzeles? And the Gemara now is going to claim, and we're going to have to rack our brains to figure this out, why, Pshita, de lo mevatel mechitzta, Rabbi Yochanan would certainly say that he's chayef in this case. So we have to address two questions here. Question number one is why does. And it's really shtaim sheinachas. In other words, once we answer one of these questions, automatically we'll know the answer to the other question. But let's just formulate it as two questions, one for Abaye and one for Rabbi Yochanan. To Abaye, we're going to address the following question. Why do you, Abaye, hold that in Chulia, for sure he's going to be potter? What's the kal v'chomer here? Again, I could grant you that there's an equation, because it's all totally on how we view a sequence which is only conceptual, but not actual. You know, in the real world, there is no sequence. And if there is no sequence, then he should be potter. Well, he's potter in the case of Machzeles, because he's Mevatel Mechitza. He's potter in the case of Chulia, because that extra Chulia, that Gush Ofer, is now going to be Mamayit Debar. But Vusepes HaKal V'Chomer, that much more so, in the case of Mechitza, that he should certainly be put. And the flip side, which is the question that we want to address to Rabbi Yochanan, is why is Rabbi Yochanan absolutely convinced that in the case of Machzeles, he's chay? So Rashi basically says the following. That if it was posha to Abaye, that since the hanacha on this machzeles is going to split the bar into two parts and bevatel the shem rishus hayochid, and if he's a chayev, then how much more so in the case of Meniach Chulia in a Bar Amok Yud? That certainly is going to be Mevatel the Mechitzos of the Bar. And therefore he's Potter for the Anoch. Why? In the case of Achzeles, what we have is a conceptual bittul. What do I mean? What impact does the Machzelis have on the bar itself? It really has no impact on the bar. It's Mafkia the Shem Yishus HaYochid Midin Mechitza. Meaning, there's an abstract halacha of Hilchus Mechitza, and if this Machzelis, you know, how should I say, measures up to the halachic requirements of a mechitza, then there's a din of mevatla, that it undermines the status of Rishus HaYochid. Nothing is really physically changed in the bar, but the machzeles is mevatel the bar midin mechitzos. So it means that the bar has to have mechitzos, and those mechitzos would have to surround an area of 4x4 tefachim. And now he puts the machzeles as a mechitza, and now he's got one mechitza here on the left, another mechitza on the right, and another mechitza in the middle, and the area that's within the two mechitzos on the right or the left is now surrounded by those two mechitzos, and there's no dalid tefachim. Is kolsh, and yet Abai says that in this case, where the machzelis as a mechitza is mevatel the mechitza sabor, and therefore he's pot through that hanoch. Is how much more so in the case of a chulia. The chulia, that piece of offer, is certainly mevatel the bar and its ability to generate mechitzos, right? The bar has to have certain dimensions. It's got to have the depth of 10 tefachim in order to generate a shem mechitza, so that it now becomes Rishus HaYochid. Well, this bar, my friends, could never ever can never ever generate a shem mechitza, right? The mechitza has to be a result of the bar, and the bar is not a bar. So again, it's not that that when he puts down the chulia, he's being mevatel mechitza. I mean, that could be true in the case of creating a mechitza through a machzeles. But in the case of the gush offer, there he doesn't have a bar anymore. Because a bar is defined in Hilchus Mechitzos as a bar amok asar tefachim. And now it's only 9 tefachim. 9 tefachim deep. But now we go to Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan, who says that in the case of Chulia, I'm not sure, because it's a suffix whether by putting down the Chulia in the bar he's being mevatel the Chulia in the bar. Why? Because there was a bar without a chulia, now there's a bar with a chulia. Tomorrow, maybe there'll be a bar, again, without a chulia. Meaning, he put in the chulia, he'll take out the chulia. So that Rabbi Yochanan has doubts as to whether or not the chulia itself, just one second, his topic, that's the suffix of Rabbi Chia, b'meiniach chulia b'bar. So now, the chulia in the bar means that the bar is only 9 tefachim deep. If the chulya is now making the bar into 9 tefachim, then there's a tzad to say that what? That he no longer has a bar, correct? There is no bar. A bar means 10 tefachim. So if you ask me, where is Hanacha was, in other words, the object that he carried from Rishus Rabbim, where did it end up? Where did it land? Did it land in a bar that was Rishus HaYachid? Because it was not a 10 tefachim high? No, no, no. His chulya, as far as the Hanacha is concerned, is not in a bar. Oh, now let's get to Machzeles. Machzeles, Pshita, Delo Mevatel Mechitzta. Why would he be Chayev in the case of Machzeles? Because the Machzeles is not going to be Mevatel Mechitzos. Yes, I don't understand exactly why. I'll read to you this beer. He says, "Vadai shu sover shu chayev sha'af im nomar shekshemavatel mimakom hanocha din rishus hayochid al yidei hanocha." So again, if through the hanocha he's mafkia the shame rishus hayochid through the tanocha. And Rabbi Yochanan thinks, therefore, he might be potur. But here, for sure, he's chayv. Why? Kevon she'eno mevatel samachitzos pabor. Ah. In other words, in the case of chulya, you can vacillate. You know, is he making a permanent structural change in the bar, reducing it from 10 tefachim down to 9? Or is this just a temporary kind of thing? Therefore, he might be potur, because this is a permanent change in the bar. But machzelis is not a permanent change in the bar. The af achar hanochas hamachzelis Adayin Abar Rishus HaYochid. And what's the proof to this? Ilu hoya Rabbi Yochanan mistapik gam v'beniach machzeles v'bar, hoya mistapik machzeles v'lo b'chulya. So the question is whether the Hanochas HaChulya is mevatel the mechitza, and whether Hanochas HaMachzeles is mevatel mechitza. If Rabbi Yochanan had a tzad to say that not only the chulya is a bitul mechitza, but even the machzelis is a bitul mechitza, then he should have presented his safek of Bahari Adodi, etc., in the case of machzelis. Because that clearly is a case where he's not, I shouldn't say clearly, but there's more of a logical, compelling reasoning to conclude that he's not mevatel mechitza. So Rabbi Yochanan should have told me a big chiddush that maybe even in the case of machzeles he's mevatel mechitza. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said maybe in the case of chulya he's mevatel mechitza, and he lets the chulya remain there on a permanent basis, it means that certainly it was clear to Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Machzeles that he's not being Mevatel Mechitza. If he's not being Mevatel Mechitza, then certainly he'll be Chay. So just to summarize, Mimash is topic Bechulya Volovi Machzeles. Why did Rabbi Yochanan present his vacillation in the case of Chulya, not Machzeles? Muchach, we see from that, Shehu Sover, Shemeniach, Machzeles, Bibar, Vadai Shu Chayev. Hiksha Besefer Chefetz Hashem Sharei Yesh Lomar Shrab Yochanan Nokat Sveiko Bechulya Kidei lashmienu sha'af b'chulya hu safek. She'ilu ilu haya mistapek b'machtzel, sayinu omrim she'b'chulya poshet lo she'potu. So he turns it around the other way around. Okay, we'll stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. I was hoping we'd get to the Mishnah, but we have a little shtickle before the Mishnah on Daf Kufam and Aleph. So we're up to the Omar Abaye. And that's about, about 7 or 8 lines before the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Daf Kufam and Aleph.